You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The report Reuniting Families, A Path Forward for Aotearoa New Zealand, which is a collaboration between the University of Auckland and the New Zealand Red Cross, was recently released, with the report highlighting the concerns with Aotearoa's family sponsorship system regarding the intake of those forcibly displaced from their home countries and the seven-year backlog of those a part of the system. I spoke to the co-director at the Centre of Asia Pacific Refugee Studies at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Education and Social Work, Professor James J. Marlowe, about the report and what the report details to better correct the system. Firstly, I started off by asking how the family sponsorship system works.
Well, kia ora, and thanks for the opportunity to speak with BFM. As you noted, the report's a collaboration between the New Zealand Red Cross and the Centre for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies at the University of Auckland. And what we really wanted to highlight was how over the years, that there's been a backlog of now close to 6,000 people who are family members that are connected to people from refugee backgrounds that are already here in New Zealand. We wanted to raise this report to make the case that there's a need for urgent reform, that the refugee reunification system that we have is absolutely vital to reuniting families, but it's under immense strain, but it's not fundamentally broken. And that we wanted to present four options that we think would be a way of working with the sector and with government to think about how reform might be able to address the 6,000 person backlog and also to introduce better balance back into the system.
As you just mentioned, there are already 6,000 family members as a part of this already growing backlog. Why does Aotearoa have such a backlog within the family sponsorship system?
There are a few reasons for that. One was we have two different tier systems, a tier one and a tier two. So tier one is for a former refugee who has no immediate family other than dependent relatives in the country. And tier two is someone also from a refugee background, but they've already got a family member here, and so they're applying for either a parent, adult sibling, adult child, or grandparent to come in. And so a lot of those people that are still waiting are actually part of that tier two system, which has actually been closed since 2017. So that amounts to about more than 4,000 of that 6,000 that I had mentioned. And so for many of these people, they've registered those family members to come, and that means for some of them, they've been waiting for 7 years or longer for that opportunity for reunification.
What is this report suggesting as a better alternative to the current system, which the government and previous governments have not been doing?
Well, it is important to recognize that there have been things that the government has done. You know, that we developed a refugee reunification pathway in 2002. Of 300 members in 2022, that was increased to 600 members or 600 people, and so that and there has actually been bipartisan support, at least in terms of recognizing the importance of having this pathway. So I think, you know, it's important to recognize that there is work that's been done, but that there is certainly more to be done to actually kind of to address this backlog. And so we present four different options to address, one, this issue of the 6,000-person backlog, and two, to rebalance the system to better ensure that we don't find ourselves in a similar situation, say, in 10 years' time where we have 6,000 people, again, that are part of a large backlog. So these four different options that we present, and we've presented this to the sector, and the idea is to then work with the sector around what those policy reforms might look like, are all kind of options that would go a substantive way towards either clearing the backlog or achieving balance in our system.
By following the suggestions of the report, what positive implications could we see to refugees and their loved ones currently living in Aotearoa?
There's another study that I've led with a team at the Center for Asia Pacific Refugee Studies that's shown that if you look at different, if we even just think about sort of economic trajectories for a minute, that you can see that they've actually got the best economic outcomes in terms of giving out wages and salaries as their predominant form of income relative to all other forced migrant groups. And this is looking at over almost 25,000 people over a 20-year period. So one, we can say that, you know, not only does it make sense to reunite families, but also it arguably makes dollars and cents, that there's something fundamental about being reconnected and reunited with family, that this creates a sense of well-being and belonging that allows people to participate as peers in civil society. So this isn't only about a fundamental right to family. It's also about giving opportunities for people to feel that they belong, that they feel secure, and that they can more fully contribute to the wider society.
Internationally, we have seen a large increase in the number of those forcibly displaced from their countries, with statistics from the UN Refugee Agency showing that by June of last year, there were over 112 million reported refugees compared to the start of the decade with 82 million. With this steady increase, how important is it now for the country to amend this backlog?
So, I mean, what we see is in a continued acceleration of those numbers globally. And, New Zealand has an important part to play in that, both within our borders and beyond it. And so, obviously, this report is more thinking about kind of what happens within our borders and who we're able to help bring into the country. Some of those family members that would be coming through that refugee family pathway aren't necessarily refugees, though some of them certainly would be. And so at the moment where we see globally, pathways being shut down, it's vitally important that New Zealand continues to show leadership in that space. And again, this report provides some ways to actually try to address, a system that is under immense strain. But we think that working collaboratively across the sector, that these things could be costed, could be done in a very kind of structured and strategic way to ensure that people have the right to family, but also that this is done in a way to ensure to ensure a good settlement outcome.
That was my final question. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I guess I would just like to just to emphasize that the time to act is now. Waiting for 7 years is far too long, and that the options that we present in this report, which is freely available, are practical, achievable, and essential to ensuring that families from refugee backgrounds can rebuild their lives together in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
That was the co-director at the Centre of Asia Pacific Refugee Studies at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Education and Social Work, Professor Jay Marlowe, on a recent report by the university and the New Zealand Red Cross with recommendations about how to better our backlog of those a part of the family sponsorship system.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.